case is Public Association of Government Employees versus the City of Lincoln. Public Association of Government Employees versus City of Lincoln. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Your honors, counsel, may it please the court. I am John Hewitt. I represent the City of Lincoln, the appellant in this case, in an appeal from an order of the Commission of Industrial Relations. The commission's order found that the city's unilateral implementation of a city street snow removal plan was a prohibited practice under the Nebraska Industrial Relations Act. How appropriate on a day when we were blessed with light snow showers in the area that we have an opportunity to convince this court that the commission, in its drive to reach a result, ignored clear stop signs that would have cut short its task. Conforming to the applicable...
Before you get to the merits, could we talk briefly about the mootness question?
Your honor, absolutely.
I think that was reserved for
it was, your
further
honor.
Consideration and oral argument.
It was.
Decision. And so my understanding is you do not believe it to be a moot case.
That's correct, your honor, for several reasons. First of all, the jurisdiction of the court depends on the facts and circumstances that they existed at the time. At the time, the collective bargaining agreement was in effect. As a result, the collective bargaining agreement, then once it's expired, continues to put an obligation on the parties, what they call a status quo obligation, to keep the terms and conditions of employment consistent with collective bargaining agreement, and in this case, the order that was in place. So that order continues to have an impact on the parties as it goes forward pursuant to that status quo obligation. That clearly removes any question of whether this issue is moot. The cases cited by the appellee in this case both dealt with situations where a contract was not in effect when the decision was rendered.
Mr. Hewitt, if we were to decide that the issue, the new snow removal plan, is not covered by the collective bargaining agreement, then the issue would not be moot under that theory either, right? Because it wouldn't go away with the expiration of the bargaining agreement.
Yes, I think correct, Your Honor. There's been a reference to a pattern of practice, a long-standing practice of this snow removal plan. It is the meat of our argument, obviously, that it is covered by the contract, and therefore it denies the court jurisdiction, and denied the commission jurisdiction on this point. If you allow me then, I would like to move forward then thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to move forward with a jurisdictional argument. As we have consistently throughout this litigation, we have asserted essentially two arguments. One is that the commission in this case did not have jurisdiction over the petition filed by the Public Association of Government Employees. And secondly, that if jurisdiction existed, that the commission erred in failing to find that the standby plan for snow removal involving the assignment of city employees to necessary plowing operations, which is a critical and essential government service, to be a management prerogative and not a mandatory subject of bargaining. The commission's jurisdiction is limited by statute. The commission has no authority beyond what is conferred upon it by the Nebraska Industrial Relations Act. That includes industrial disputes referenced in 48.810. It also includes prohibited practices referenced in 48.824. Every authority cited by the parties recognizes the rule that the commission does not have jurisdiction over a breach of contract claim or interpretation of a contract in the context of a breach of contract claim. What is a breach of contract claim? Is controlled by the pleadings in this case. And the commission itself has said that the nature of the cause of action, not the remedy sought, not the effect on the employee rights, is determinative on that issue. A quick review of the transcript and the bill of exceptions conclusively shows that this case is a cause of action for a breach of contract. In the initial petition, paragraphs 4 through 11 reference contract provisions which are asserted to be violated by the standby plan. The statement of issues in the report of pretrial, 5 issues involve issues involving the interpretation of the contract and alleged violation of the contract.
Counsel, can you point us to where in the contract this activity is covered?
Absolutely, Your Honor. In both in the petition and in the statement of issues, they make reference to Articles 18 and 19 and Article 3. Article 3 is the management rights provision that specifically references assignments and scheduling and so forth. It also includes a notice provision. Article 18 deals with hours of work and is the genesis of most of the allegations in the petition. Article 19 specifically deals with standby and references a standby plan and standby activities.
But doesn't Article 19, I mean, when I look at Article 19, doesn't it only address standby? I guess the issue that I have is these employees under the collective bargaining agreement were working a set number of days with a set number of hours off. They were only required, or they only did overtime standby if they volunteered to do it, unless there was an emergency. And this changes that.
That our point would be that the allegation then would be that the mandatory standby plan is inconsistent with the contract. That is a contract interpretation issue. That is a breach of contract claim. That is a claim over which the commission has no jurisdiction. That is exactly the point we are making. That issue in and of itself denied the commission jurisdiction. It wasn't that there wasn't a remedy. The remedy was in district court. They could have gone to district court, the appropriate forum for breaches of contract of collective bargaining agreements, and they could have sought immediate injunctive relief if they were so inclined. They went to the wrong forum. They filed a case with the Commission of Industrial Relations alleging a prohibited practice. It is clear that the commission has no jurisdiction over a breach of contract claim. Thus, the commission has taken jurisdiction on mixed cases, but only where there is a further allegation that there has an impact on the rights reserved to the employees, an adverse impact on the collective bargaining relationship, none of which is here in this case. I apologize, Your Honors, I see that I'm into my rebuttal time and I'd like to...
I'm sorry, I have to ask you. I apologize.
Not a problem.
It appeared to me that on this specific issue, the collective bargaining agreement was silent, that it didn't really cover this exact situation. There's nothing saying that if the city decides they wanted you to do this additional work, this is the process we're going to go through to do it, it's just silent about it. And so if that's the case, how can it be a breach of contract?
Your Honor, two things. One is, we don't believe it is silent about it. In Article 19, it does reference standby, and then it talks about the circumstances for other employees, except those are on standby. They can be forced to work mandatorily only under certain circumstances. That, in my view, implies that those who are on standby can be forced to work mandatorily. So I think the contract does address standby. But the bigger point is that the appellees consistently throughout said that the contract provisions that are affected, or those that address hours of work, shifts, and so forth that are contained in Article 18. By the appellee's own allegations, they have made the case that this is covered by the contract and therefore there is no jurisdiction under the Douglas County case. Thank you. I reserve the remainder of the time. Thank you.
Mr. Hewitt. Please, court. My name's Gary Young. I'm here on behalf of Page, the appellee in this case. Page is about 450 city employees in the city of Lincoln who bargained with the city of Lincoln and have done so for several decades. And we arrive at this contract that we're dealing with. And as some members of the court have asked, does the contract itself provide for how somebody ends up on standby status in the city of Lincoln? And the answer is no. We did plead that there is a schedule, a discussion of the schedule established, a structure in the contract. The question is, how am I assigned to work outside that structure? And that's a question of when am I placed on standby status? Is that done on a mandatory basis or a voluntary basis? That's the question that's not resolved in the contract. It's not resolved in the contract because there was at least a 20-year history, the record reflects, that decision was made on a voluntary basis off contract, that the basic practice of the city of Lincoln was to come around and ask employees if they wanted to work standby in anticipation of a snow removal effort, and they signed up voluntarily or not. It changed only in 2015 when a new manager of that division came in and said, I want to do this on a mandatory basis. And that was not bargained for, and that's why we are here. The only issue is, does the city have a responsibility to bargain for that change with Page when it didn't?
Mr. Chair, could it not be said that because the collective bargaining agreement only addresses voluntary, that to implement a mandatory provision is in breach of this contract?
It could be said that that's a breach, I suppose. The question is, but actually the contract itself doesn't specifically govern that question. So the covered by doctrine is established in the Douglas County case. And it says that the question about whether a party has bargained for and whether something is actually in the contract is measured by the definition in the contract that addresses the issue you're trying to resolve. Here, the question is, can I be placed on a mandatory basis or a voluntary basis only, and the contract doesn't resolve that question with any definition, as Douglas County said would have to be in place for it to be covered by the contract. In that case, it was a subcontracted case, and the union had actually negotiated with the Douglas County to say, you may subcontract any of the work in the bargaining unit, and there's specific language which says that. Douglas County then did that, and the union came in and said, well, wait a minute, we want you to negotiate more. The Supreme Court said, no, you've covered that in the contract. King's X, they get to do that on their own now by your own agreement. Here, there is no discussion of how someone gets on a standby list or is not on the standby list on a mandatory or a voluntary basis.
And what was the request for relief in your complaint?
That the city of Lincoln cease and desist implementing the mandatory standby plan, and that the parties be required to negotiate the matter if they wish to press forward.
Can I interrupt you now from that train of thought and go back to the issue of mootness?
Yeah, on the issue of jurisdiction, do I believe the matter is moot? No. But on the question of the merits, The Employees United case appears to say that when you make a covered by argument to as a basis for your claim that you have bargained for a matter and do not have to bargain any further, that once that agreement expires, that on the merits you no longer have the benefit of that argument any longer because that argument is moot. We believe that resolves covered by argument in this case.
Even though the status quo continues?
Even though the status quo continues. That case actually was a status quo case.
Say the case again.
It was the Employees United versus, it's either the City of Omaha or Douglas County. It's, I think, a 2007 case. In that case, the contract had expired. They were under a status quo kind of continuation theory, and the court said that the covered by doctrine argument was moot in that case.
How does that play into a decision that the issue is not covered by the agreement? And does the mootness issue arise?
Ask me again, what are you thinking?
If it's not, so if one of the questions is the issue covered by the collective bargaining agreement? If it's not covered by the collective bargaining agreement, then does the mootness issue still arise?
I don't believe so. If it's not covered by the contract agreement, then we're at the same place on the merits. Is it a mandatory subject of bargaining or is it not? And really, that's the only question that remains, I believe. The question, so that's the second question I do want to address, is it a mandatory subject? I don't think it's a hard question under the statute. The Industrial Relations Act specifically says that the City of Lincoln and Page have a mutual obligation to bargain over wages, hours, and other terms and conditions of employment. And it says that it describes Page, a labor organization, as an entity that bargains with employers over, among other things, hours of employment. The Creek case, the Omaha Police Union case, the SEIU case, all from the Supreme Court, all say that hours of work are subject matter that as a mandatory subject of bargaining applies. The SEIU case actually said this: a matter which is of fundamental, basic, or essential concerns to an employee's financial or personal concerns is mandatorily bargainable. And that's, of course, if you saw on the record the impact of the change from moving from a voluntary standby system, for which the structure that remained in place regarding my schedule that applied to me remained in place and protected me to some extent. If you move that to a mandatory situation where I can, as a manager, come in and at any time use the device of standby and put you on standby so that I can change your schedule, it's a devastating impact on people's working lives and their family lives. And so we do believe that that law clearly establishes this is within the realm of bargaining. The last piece I just want to address, the appellants did brief on, was the question about whether the change in the statute regarding staffing somehow is relevant to the situation. And I would just point out the history of that term staffing in the labor setting is a term of art. Staffing has to do with how many people do you staff on your employment operation. And secondly, what do you do with those people once they are staffed? How do you organize their work? And we don't have any claim that somehow those matters are bargainable with the union. Staffing is a question about numbers that you staff. In the history of the CIR, there has always been an issue about, well, in a law enforcement setting, staffing is very important in the safety realm because staffing directly impacts my well-being as an employee. And so the Supreme Court in the Omaha Police Union case, in I think 2012, said, yes, staffing for law enforcement is a mandatory subject of bargaining. The change in the statute that happened in October of 2013 essentially codified that decision and said, with regard to safety operations, staffing is bargainable, levels of staffing essentially. In this context, it's not. And so we don't believe the staffing statute change has any relevance to the issue of hours of work. With that, I'll entertain any more questions. If not, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honors. Just a couple of very quick points. One is the cases that we've cited in our brief are clear that assignment of work, assignment of overtime, hours worked per day, hours worked per shift, all as part of a scheduling procedure are not mandatory subjects of bargaining. They are management prerogatives. What's interesting about the Appellee's argument is that on the one hand they say it's not covered by, it's not covered by because it's standby, it's a standby practice. But with regard to the subject or the mandatory subject of bargaining item, they say, no, this is hours of work. That is inherently inconsistent and cannot be reconciled. Thank you very much for your time and consideration.
Thank you.